Victoria has chosen to talk to us tonight about a very beautiful story, Seeking a Bride for Isaac. Without more time, I'll turn the microphone over to Brother Barrett.
Dear friends, first of all, I bring you the love of the Victoria Brethren. They voted to send their love to you, to this convention, and they would have liked to have been here, many of them, but they're getting on in years. Some of us here are, too, but they are with you in spirit. Now, I, as Brother Wilcox has said, I've chosen for my subject something you all know. I've got nothing new, but I'm going to dish it up in a different platter. Just a different platter. You know, every brother has a different plate. It's all the food from the table, but this is a different platter. I noticed the other day there was a different arrangement of the flowers. They shifted them around a little. You've all heard this story, this wonderful story of Abraham sending his trusted servant for a bride for his son Isaac. There's something peculiar about that. It's the 24th chapter of Genesis. There isn't time to read it all, but you all know it, don't you? So I'm going to touch on the highlights of that as a little story, and then we'll go back to see how it fits you and I. Abraham was old, getting old and stricken in years, and he wanted a bride for his son. So he made his servant Eliezer swear that he wouldn't take a bride for his son from them Canaanites. No, he had to go to his own country, the city of Nahor. And that servant was a wonderful man. If you read that account, it was wonderful. He was going to stake his life to fulfill that oath that he'd made to Abraham. So Abraham says, take 10 camels, not 8, not 7. You take 10 camels. And you go to my people, and there you select a bride for my son. It was a long journey for those days. Today, you do it after a meeting. You go 500 miles sometimes. You do here in the United States 500 and 600 miles in the car in one day to a convention. But these camels were slow, but they were sure and steady. He had to take young men with him. They were the guards, because it was a hostile country and through the desert. Well, Eliezer arrived at the city of Nahor at the evening time. Just out, he went, you know, he always went to the well. And he went to the well. That's where they get the maidens, at the well. And the maidens came out to draw water. That was the place he was guided by the Lord, and he went to the right place. And there he prayed to God to guide him. And he saw Rebecca, this beautiful maiden. He put a test on her. He asked for water, and she graciously gave him water, and his camels also. And you know what he gave her? Immediately he gave her 2 jewels. One for her ears of gold, half a shekel of gold. And he gave her bracelets. They were much heavier. Bracelets for her 2 hands. Then he asked her who she was. And she invited him into her father's house, or at least her brother did. And he went to, and he found out there was the relations of Abraham, It was Abraham's granddaughter. So he gave his mission. He began to tell of the riches of Abraham. Oh, he was enthusiastic about his master. He gave him, told the whole household of how rich Abraham was. He said, and Isaac will be his heir. He's put everything over to Isaac. And he wants a bride. And will you come? And so they agreed that Rebekah should be the bride of Isaac. There's some peculiar in this. You know, Jacob, he didn't ask his father Isaac to get a bride for him. Oh, no, he went and got one himself. Everybody does, get their own bride, but not Abraham. Isaac took the bride of his father's choice. And so, they went to the house, and they gave their consent that she should go. They brought the, they had a great feast, but Eliezer says, no, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to tell you my mission first. Give me the answer now. So they gave him the answer, and then he sat down to eat, him and his young men. And, of course, Eliezer wanted to go the next morning. So as they arose in the morning, he told the household that he wanted to be on his journey. He wanted to take that bride. They said, oh, no. No, no, that's too soon. You can go, but stay 10 days. Just stay 10 days, and then you take her. I'm glad she didn't stay 10 days. They said, fetch the maiden, we'll ask her. So she says, I will go. Just like that prodigal son says, I will arise, and I'll go to my father. He made up his decision, and Rebekah decided she would go. So they sent her away in peace. You know who they sent with her? They sent her a nurse with her. A young woman having a nurse. Fancy, a young woman at that age having a nurse. Yes, that nurse stayed with her all her life. There's a wonderful antitype in that. There's a wonderful antitype in the young men that went with them. And in the morning they arose, and the scripture says, and she followed the man. I want to emphasize that point. Rebekah was a type of the bride of Christ. Eliezer was a type of the Holy Spirit. And he said, she followed the man. He led the way. They went on. They went on, and of course, you know, a bride, she had never seen Isaac, and she was always looking for him. And after, I don't know how long they'd been on the journey, but I know how long the antitype is. It's 2,000 years nearly. And when it was coming evening, she was always looking. Her maids were with her, they wasn't looking. You know, she saw Isaac first. I'm glad that Rebekah saw Isaac in the field first, not the maidens. And she said to the man, Eliezer, who is that I see in the field? He said, that is my master's son, that is Isaac. And she got off the camels and put a veil on. And she became the bride of Isaac, and they went into the tent, and Isaac was comforted. Sarah now was dead, and Isaac was comforted. The marriage had come. There's another peculiar thing in this I'm going to point out to you. There's no record that I can find of the death of Rebekah, but there is a record of the death of her nurse. Now, that nurse's name was Deborah. And I looked that up. You know what it means? A bee. A bee. We'll come to that a little later. Now, let's go back. Just see what this antitypes. I've read all that the pastor said about this, and some of the points he doesn't say anything about. And I'm going to give you this as a suggestion, because I think it fits the case. It fits the facts. Now, the Eliezer, as you know, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And many years ago, in God's mind, he was going to have a bride for his son. Isaac is a type of our Lord. Rebecca, a type of the church. And the maidens is a type of the great company. They was with her all the time. Now, Eliezer, he prayed to God that he might be guided to get the right one. Our Lord, before he chose his 12 apostles, he went up in the mountain and prayed all night that he might be guided of the Lord to get the right bride. You know who chooses you and I? We are called of God. We are drawn of his Holy Spirit. Yes, our Lord was very careful. The Apostle Paul, he always went to the well, just like Eliezer did. And there's where you get the maidens. They're always playing around with the water of truth. Yes, the Apostle Paul, every time he went into a city, if there was a synagogue, he went to the synagogue. That's where the maidens go. They're talking about the scriptures. They're always at that well, the well of water, this wonderful well that we have here. There was one city the apostle went to. It's recorded in Acts 16 and 13. He went to this city, and there was no synagogue. You know what he done? He heard that outside the city, there was women there. They used to go there to pray. He thought, that's the place for me to go. They was alongside the river. And you know, there's a lot of women there praying. And they might have been men too. But the scriptures, that's where the women were wont to go. To pray, for prayer. That's just the place to go. And there, the Apostle Paul gave the glorious message of truth. And he gave them an earring and bracelets. Right there. The ear, here and here. Blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear this wonderful message of truth. The Apostle Paul went to the right place. He went to the well. When the first harvest message was proclaimed, it went outside every church in the United States, Canada, and Britain. The pastor knew where the damsels were, where the virgins were. They were in the churches at that time. We don't go there now. It's a long time ago. Yes, that's where the damsels are. The virgins are always at the well. And, you know, the bracelets, I believe, would represent the rewarding of our, the blessing of what we've always been doing, what our hands find to do, and we are blessed. Now, when Rebecca said she would go, you know what Eliezer done? He gave her some more jewels. Those two first jewels are only a beginning, but he gave her more jewels, and he gave her something to wear. You and I, dear friends, couldn't get the robe of Christ's righteousness until we decided, made the decision, we will go. And Rebecca's following the man. It was a long and tedious journey. This real journey is taking 2,000 years. That only took a few months. That she followed, and she rode the camels. I don't know what the camels mean, but I have a good idea how it fits the facts of the case. the camels was the means of grace to take Rebekah to Isaac. What are the means of grace that we have? Something to do with the earth. The ten means something to do with earth. I believe they are God's providences on your behalf and mine. I've seen many problems in my time. Many. No, there was one time or several times I could have made a lot of money. But God's providence has stopped me. You know, it wouldn't have been good for me. I fully realize there was one time I had a country place or seaside place and I sold it and lost on it. The people that bought it, soon after the government came in, they wanted that for a fort and they made a fabulous sum. And I was at first a little disappointed. I thought, well, God could have done something in his providence to have made that a little better. And I built two houses. And I sold them for cost, just the wages. And the other, some big outfit came, they wanted a shopping center there. And they got a fabulous price for it. But as I look back, I praise the Lord for those providences. All that money, you know, would have went to my head. I believe, dear friends, these providences, if we take them rightly, they'll take us right to Isaac. Right there to Isaac. God has wonderful providences. Do you know who I believe that nurse was? Who was she type of or picture of? I believe, dear friends, that Deborah was a picture of your and my guardian angel. I firmly believe this the more I look into that. We all have one guardian angel. We're sure of that. And I think when I get beyond the first to greet me according to the seventh message, it will be our guardian angel. And you'll say, Brother Barrett, you've been a terror. Oh, the times I've tried to push you here, you wanted to get off the camel. And another time that you was trying, you nearly got off that camel. Oh, I've been as busy as a bee with you. That's what it means, the bee. Deborah means the bee. Now that guardian angel, I believe, dear friends, has pledged, your guardian angel and mine has pledged to take us to Isaac if we'll follow the man. There's one thing they cannot do. All the hosts of heaven are for us so long as our heart is right and our wills to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if you and I get self-willed, our guardian angel cannot do anything. Not all those men, those young men. Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent forth to minister unto those who are to become heirs of salvation. Yes. There's many, I believe, perhaps you can look in your own lifetime and see the experiences you've had, some of them very hard. And you know, a lot of brethren I've seen in this narrow way have got off the camel and they've gone right out. There was one brother at one time says, I'm going to another city where nobody knows me. He wanted to get off the camel, but when he got to the other city, he found things were worse there. And he come back and come on the camel again. Now, this is my suggestion. You don't have to take that as doctrine, that these camels represent God's providences on your behalf and mine. But I firmly think it fits the picture, doesn't it? Something that conveys us. Another illustration we might say, our mistakes are stepping stones to get us along, get us nearer to Isaac. you know, if we'd never made any mistakes, we wouldn't be very humble. There was one brother I knew recently. He pretty near told me, never made a mistake. Well, I've made plenty. I do admit it. But you know, if I make them the second time, God gives me these experiences a little harder. But if he has to keep giving to me these experiences over and over again, I'll be one of the maidens. I think it's significant to the facts that it was Rebecca was always looking for Isaac, and she was the first one to see him. In 1874, Isaac came in the field in the evening, and Rebecca saw him, not the maidens. You know, there's another wonderful parable to fit this picture too, to verify it. The wise and the foolish virgins. You know, the foolish virgins went to sleep when the cry came at midnight, behold the bridegroom. The wise ones went out to meet him. But the foolish ones slept. They would have liked oil from the wise ones, but that's something we can't do. When you get a brother and sister, or a sister, that do not believe the Lord, that's Isaac in the field, it's hard for you to show them. Very hard. How do you know this thing? How are you sure? There's no dates in the Bible, there's nothing like this. Hardest thing to, when people are willfully ignorant of that, is hard to show them. That's Isaac in the field. But it's true. We understand that. The church, as Rebecca right from the start, has been looking for Isaac. Watching every sign for Isaac. And he came in the field at the right time in 1874. And the church saw him. The great normal systems had the opportunity of seeing Isaac, but they turned it down. The maidens, her companions that followed her, they rode on the same camels. Well, how then, you might say, Brother Barrett, does it fit? But you can have one experience, dear friend, and I can have the same, and I can get a lesson out from it. Or perhaps you can get a lesson, I missed the lesson. Unless we are rightly exercised by these experiences and the providences of life, we take the experiences right, it'll get us right there to Isaac, and we will be the bride. The others, the maidens, her companions, it's quite different there. They'll come in soon. But they haven't made these mistakes and these experiences stepping stones to get them nearer, to form that wonderful character. I wonder whether there's any antitype that the record of Rebecca isn't, the record of her death isn't recorded. At least I can't find it. But the record of her nurse is, Jacob buried her. He buried her under an oak. I think this is speculating a little further, but those guardian angels, when the church is complete, there's quite a lot of them, that commission is finished, but they'll always be remembered. As we wake up in the kingdom with that guardian angel, I believe he'll point out what we've done, the foolish things we've done, and how they'd have to keep busy all the time, like a mother or a nurse with her child. There's some steps there. You'll fall down there. Look out now. Come back. I think a mother can enter into this because of their children. And that guardian angel is pledged, so long as our heart is right, that he can and will guard us. And we'll see the wonderful antitypical Isaac, and in the due time, when the marriage of the Lamb takes place. There's a few other things I want to point out or emphasize in this. This Eliezer when he was recounting his experiences to Isaac, to Abraham, this is what he said. I was in the way, and the Lord led me. That's a wonderful statement. I was in the way, and the Lord led me. We can take a lesson from that. We follow the man. We've got to be in the way to be led. You know, all the church, before they accepted this wonderful vow of consecration, they were self-willed. None of the church are spineless. They've got a will of their own. And if they keep that will, they'll never get to be the bride of Isaac. We had to give that up completely at consecration. And we had to follow the man like Rebecca did. Follow the Holy Spirit from first to last. And that has been a fight with us all. As things come up and we want our own will done. Someone said from the platform here, I think it's today, I thought it was a wonderful point. The best way to describe love is utter unselfishness. Have we given up our will entirely? Are we following the lead of the Holy Spirit? If I'm self-willed, I'm not. If I do not look at the experiences of life and these trials and difficulties and the pleasures that come and get the lesson from them, I'm not riding the camels. You know, we're all a little different. Some brethren make a lot of money. There was one deal I had many years ago, and I made some money. And you know, I met a neighbor soon after that. And he said, I was only talking to him a little while, a worldly man. He said, you are prosperous, Mr. Barrett. He said, I can see. He said, you are prosperous. That showed in my very being a little bit of pride. I'd made a good deal. I was something. Showing in my very attitude to a worldly man. Now, you might be able to inherit a million, and it might not affect you. But this guardian angel could see that wouldn't do for King Barrett. Keep him right down. He's liable to get puffed up and think he's somebody. Yes, they know. I think my guardian angel is like yours. He knows you, and my guardian angel knows me, my every weakness. But he's pledged to God to keep me on the camel as long as I follow the man, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, well, he said, I was in the way, and the Lord led me. You get out of the way a little. You can't be led by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. These are practical lessons we apply to ourselves. Can you look back and see in your lifetime what you thought was a calamity is now a blessing? I can. I had a little boy one time, and you know, I never had any children. Oh, that's just what I wanted.
that I believe, dear friends, if I'd had children, I'd never come in the truth. Oh, I love them. My guardian angel could see that it wouldn't be good for me. This little boy that I had, he was a nephew. And it was the greatest shock of my life when they come and took him. His mother come and took him. He was about 8 years old. She didn't say she was coming. She come and just took him. Oh, that was the biggest shock. I pretty near got off the camel. But I considered it. There's one thing I made up my mind when I came in the truth first. I just got on the camel. And the brother pointed out something to me. And I said to the wife, I said, I'm not going to with them people no more. They're off. He was working for me. And I rebuked him. He was doing something he shouldn't do. And I rebuked him. And the wife says, now look, you sleep on that. And you pray about it. And you go to him in the morning, just like a man should. So I thought I'd do that. And I went to him in the morning and asked him about this. What do you mean by this? Oh, he said, I don't mean no offense. He said, I mean that for me, himself. He cleared it up. I'd pretty near come off the camel. I'm going to finish. So I made up my mind after that. When there's something I didn't understand, I'd go to that brother or that sister. And go to them, and very often, nearly always, it's cleared up. Yes, we've had many, perhaps you can agree with me in this, we've all had many and many a hard time. We pretty near got off the camel. But we wouldn't have been the bride of Isaac if we'd got off the camel. Our Lord had hard times. When he was in Gethsemane, he says, oh, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. We've all had them Gethsemane experiences. Make up our mind, shall we? We won't get off the camel. We'll follow the man, Eliezer. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's peaceful. Soothing. And we'll come at the right time to Isaac and be a wonderful bride, the bride of Isaac. Let me read to you a few scriptures along this line of the bride. In Revelation 21. Revelation 21 and 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, the Rebecca class. From 1874 on, that seventh angel has been showing you and I the beauties of the bride of Christ. We had to get on a high mountain to do it. Come up hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. You know, we want these incentives in this narrow way. It's a long journey. And the camels are not so easy to ride on sometimes. Them humpy and bumpy old things over the rough ground. They didn't have automobiles in those days. They had them old camels. You know, when Rebecca alighted from the camels, the trials were past. Didn't need the camels anymore. Our trials and testings will be done when we light off the camels. And that's close, because Isaac is in the field. So soon the last member will get off the camel. Isaac is in the field. Soon that wonderful marriage of the Lamb is going to take place. And the maidens. You know, it would be nice to be of the maidens. that you and I are called to be the Rebecca class, to be the bride of Christ. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the New Jerusalem, descending out of God, out of heaven from God. I believe it's no stretch of imagination that holy city is being prepared now to come down as each member of the body takes off the veil that means going under the second veil, or the veil of death, this veil of flesh. As each member goes under the veil, they go to that wonderful company, assembling for that wonderful marriage of the Lamb, as each one makes his call and election sure. We are assured, dear friends, of being of the Rebecca class if we'll follow the man, the Holy Spirit, pictured by Eliezer. You know those men, the young men spoken of in the picture? I believe all the hosts of the angels is enlisted to protect the bride of Christ apart from the nurse, the guardian angel. In those countries there was robbers, and they had to have a lot of young men. The young men were always the guards or the soldiers. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those who shall be heirs of salvation? Our pastor says that we have at least one, but he thinks there's more, and I do too. According to Scripture, all the hosts of heaven today are looking down here at the Rebecca class to see whether you and I get off the camel. You know the maids, they stayed on the camels, but they were asleep. They didn't see Isaac. They was asleep. A long journey. They hadn't made use of the experiences of life. With God's providences working out in you and I, they're working out, if we're rightly exercised by them, a wonderful character. This is going on sometimes unconsciously towards you and me, you and I. But if we're exercised by them, it's gradually forming a character that's going to stand for eternity. We often think of the wonderful scripture about the church of the living God is a pillar and a ground of the truth. We should be very careful that we are today the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Apostle Paul said he's set for the defense of the truth. And the church today should hold up that wonderful standard, the standard of truth, and not compromise it. If you and I ride in the camel and hold in all kinds of false doctrines, how can we be the pillar and ground of the truth? It's here on this side of the veil where we get the experiences. It's here where we get grounded in the truth. So, with this admonition, I take it to myself too. By God's grace, I'm going to stay on that camel. And I'm going to follow the man, the leading of the Holy Spirit, not to have my own will done. You know, human nature hates to admit it's wrong or has made a mistake. That's kind of human nature. Sometimes in our class, I'll give a wrong thought, and I like to make that right. So Sister Barron doesn't like me to do that. She said, well, they won't notice. Let it go. They think you don't know nothing. Well, I don't. But, you know, human nature's like that. They don't like to admit they're wrong. This is part of our training in the school of Christ. Humility. Humility is one of the paths we have to tread all the way. There's many people, if they're right and they're contradicted, they want everybody to know they're right. You know, God for 6,000 years has had his name blasphemed. He hasn't tried to clear his name yet. He's going to in time. That's a test for you and I today. When we give this wonderful and glorious message of truth, people tell us they don't want to hear that stuff. It's quite a test on me. All this truth that you and I love. God is, the God of this world has blinded their minds so they cannot see. And this will be a test on us too, won't it? Will we have that patient endurance to stay right with the truth right till the end? And God, in his due time, will clear his name. And if you and I are faithful, we'll have that wonderful privilege. Given that message of truth from Mount Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I want to read you another scripture about this wonderful bride. Psalm 45. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. The Rebecca class. Forget thine own people and thy father's house. We've done that. Rebecca done that. She left her own kindred to incline her ear. That message of Eliezer. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. The scriptures goes on to say that the maiden was beautiful. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre, shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. You know, that couldn't be yet. We'd get puffed up if all Seattle come out to hear us. We'd get puffed up. We'd begin to think we're somebody, wouldn't we? Oh, this isn't not yet. But they're going to come. They're going to bend before us. And it means acknowledge that after all, these crazy Bible students were right. They've got to acknowledge. They come to bend and acknowledge that. All those scribes and Pharisees, before they can advance in the highway of holiness, they've got to come and bend. That they crucified the Lord Jesus. That bending, humility. Our bending is all through our narrow way. All our Christian course, we have to bend in humility. No one can get to that wonderful kingdom unless he bends. It's shown all the time in the pyramid and everywhere. Lowly and bending. Not our own will, but taking the will of the Lord and follow the man. And listen to the nurse too. That wonderful nurse. I think that's a beautiful illustration. That nurse was pledged to Rebecca for life. For life. And she fulfilled the mission. Like your guardian angel and mine. We're keeping them busy. You get that old waywardness, and the old self-will seems to come back. But that is the fight, to keep it dead. We promised that at consecration. So it behoves us all to keep that dead. The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Rebecca was pretty on the outside. But the king's daughter is all glorious within. Proving a wonderful character that we have to attain. We attain that perfect love. It's shown in our patience. Patience in trial, patience in suffering, and patience with the brethren. I believe in every class, there's one that scratches the other. There's a rubbing. Some of the classes I've been to, they've got after me about this, and I've tried to advise them. I said, perhaps you rub some of the others. If we remember that, we'll have that sympathy one for the other. If we was in a class where they was all so nice and all perfect, we couldn't make the kingdom. There's lumps on us that had to be chopped off. Then there's rubbing we have to have before we are polished. That is, before we can be polished. And then the polishing. And this grace of patience gauges, as it were, all the Christian graces. We have those graces of meekness, long-suffering, and love. Patience will show it if we are patient one with the other. And I believe we can all say our patience sometimes has been tried to the limit. But that's good. That's staying on the camel. Don't get off the camel. Don't get self-willed. In every experience of life, just look it over and see what lesson there is for you and I. You know, that's why some of them, they don't, all these experiences come, they don't. They pray to the Lord for this, that, and the other. They pray for patience. And when it comes, they're dismayed. They're not watching. We must pray and we must watch. We must watch and we must pray. And then we'll get the lesson that comes from life's experiences. Our Lord, to make his trial, do you know what he had to do? He's pictured in the tabernacle shadows. He took coals from off the altar to burn that incense. He had to take it. There was one brother, it's recorded of him praying to the Lord for patience. Oh, didn't he get some trials? I'll never pray for patience anymore. He began to get terrible trials. Well, they come by enduring the trials, patience does. Yes, we're in a wonderful school of Christ. It's so wonderful that Eliezer took an oath to get the right one. There's only 144,000 of the bride of Christ, and it's taken 2,000 years to get them. Many are called and few chosen. Few chose to keep on the camel. Oh, in my consecrated lifetime, dear friends, how many have I seen get off the camels, go right into the world, that stay on the camel and we'll follow the man. And we'll be the bride of Isaac, that wonderful Rebecca class. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. That's what Eliezer gave Rebecca, some wonderful garment. It's a wonderful garment. But she had something to do to it. She had embroidered it with needlework. Painstaking care. The graces of the Spirit. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that followed her, shall be brought unto thee. They're going to be with the bride of Christ, but they're virgins, her companions, but they're not the Rebecca class. He doesn't say how many there was. He doesn't say how many young men as guards there were. There must have been quite a few. It was such a wonderful thing, selecting the bride of Christ, when it takes 2,000 years, and all the hosts of heaven looking on, enlisted on our behalf, and each one has his own guardian angel or nurse to nurse his along. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace when the bride is complete, when Isaac is married. Then instead of thy father shall be thy children. The next work will be appointing of the ancient worthies, who will be princes in all the earth. I believe God's arrangement is being carried out on the other side of the veil. That city is being made ready. And there's a place waiting for you and I if we stay on the camel and follow the man. It's all being prepared ready. Ready for this wonderful marriage of the Lamb. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee. They'll begin to recognize why you and I stayed right here on the camels. Yes, it's a wonderful calling, dear friends. Never going to be repeated. And if you've had the earring, that golden earring of truth, make up your mind. You're going to follow the man. Make the decision. You're going to follow the man. If you've been hesitating about these things, you stay on the camel. If you made your consecration, stay on the camel and make use of the experiences and God's promises. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. We'd like to emphasize one more thing here. That no man, no brother or sister can open the ears of another. We're called of God. It's God's Holy Spirit. God does the calling. That's why Abraham, a type of God, he chose the bride of Isaac. Something very unusual. Called of God, as was Aaron. No man take this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. And if we have that wonderful robe given by Eliezer there in the picture, let's work on it, shall we? It has to be embroidered. Raiment of needlework. It isn't done in 2 months or 3 months. Raiment of needlework. Painstaking care. These graces of the Spirit. That was in God's mind before the foundation of the world, that he would have a bride for his son. And in due time, in 1874, Isaac came in the field. And if you're one of the maidens, the Rebecca class, you saw him. You saw him come in the field. Let us stay on the camel and follow Eliezer. May the Lord bless you.
you, Brother Barrett, for